Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, the vote is in from the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senators voted along party lines to send Judge Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the full Senate.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 11 days, 10 days.
The nominee will be reported to the floor.
That vote came after some last-minute negotiating to secure the vote of Republican Senator Jeff Flake. Earlier today, Flake said he would support Kavanaugh's nomination to the highest court. And just before the vote, which was shortly before 2 o'clock this afternoon, Flake said that he would support Kavanaugh if there was a delay in a full Senate vote so there could be an FBI investigation.
And I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to, but not more than 1 week, in order to let the FBI continue to do an investigation limited in time and scope to the current allegations that are there.
And then, as Chairman Chuck Grassley told senators that they were voting, there was some confusion about what exactly they were voting for and whether there actually will be an FBI investigation. Ranking Democrat Dianne Feinstein questioned Grassley about that, and their exchange was captured on a hot mic.
Is it done? Is Flake's is it going to happen? Or did you cut off a vote?
No, we didn't have a motion in front of us. This is all a gentleman and women's agreement.
Gentlemen and women's agreement.
Kavanaugh's nomination is now up to the full Senate. This extraordinary vote today and this week's emotional hearings are the subject of our Week in Review. And listeners, we want to hear from you during our Week in Review panel this week. Did you watch the testimony yesterday? Did you watch what happened today? Should there be an FBI investigation? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Our Week in Review panelists this week are Jennifer Braceras, political columnist and senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Also with us, former Boston City Councilor and regular contributor to WBUR's Cognoscenti, Tom Keene. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit before today's breaking news about the vote and what might happen with this Judiciary Committee vote today. Let's hear some of the tape from yesterday's hearing when Dr. Christine Blasey Ford recounted what she says was a sexual assault by Judge Kavanaugh 36 years ago.
Dr. Ford, with what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
And Judge Kavanaugh got emotional denying those accusations.
I'm here today to tell the truth. I've never sexually assaulted anyone, not in high school, not in college, not ever.
So there is a lot to unpack here. Between the emotions of yesterday, the confusion of the vote today, the Senate Judiciary Committee was expected to vote at 9:30 this morning, was how the day started. That got pushed to 1:30. Then there was some last-minute negotiating going on. No one was sure when the vote was going to take place. And Republican Senator Jeff Flake was meeting with Democratic senators about what he was going to do. He was sort of the last-minute holdout to change things. And one interesting thing here, Senator Flake was actually confronted by a sexual assault survivor in an elevator this morning before the vote. Let's listen to a little bit of that exchange.
On Monday, I stood in front of your office with Addie Barkin. I told the story of my sexual assault. I told it because I recognized in Dr. Ford's story that she's telling the truth. What you are doing is allowing someone who actually violated a woman to sit in the Supreme Court. This is not tolerable.
So I'm wondering, Tom Keene, your thoughts on that. Do you think that because emotions were running so high, I mean, what caused this wavering on the part of Senator Flake?
I think it was yesterday's hearings, no question. And
this morning he was voting in support.
And pushback like this. I think he is here. First of all, as we know, he's not rerunning for election. So he is somewhat more independent in terms of hearing from constituents on both the left and the right on this matter. I think yesterday's testimony probably started pushing him, and my suspicion is that perhaps encounters like today pushed him even further to saying he wants some sort of cover, like an FBI investigation. He's not alone on this, by the way. I mean, you now have the American Bar Association saying that they want to have an FBI investigation. You even have Alan Dershowitz saying that an investigation by the FBI is warranted. I think that's the direction we're going to go. And to be frank, probably the Republicans would have done that rather than have yesterday's hearing.
So I think the confrontation in the elevator had a lot to do with it. I think these senators are being threatened. Their addresses and their phone numbers were posted online. People are now making threats against the senators. I mean, Susan Collins has already been facing a lot of really vile
Senator from Maine
comments coming into her office. She had thousands of coat hangers sent to her office. She's had all sorts of pressure and threats made against her. And
I think we've heard about threats to both sides.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So
it's
really
crazy.
emotional, really sort of entrenched anger here about this particular issue.
But I find it very, very upsetting that this is the way the American people are going to react towards a Supreme Court confirmation hearing. I mean, the Supreme Court doesn't really have that much power in our lives, and it certainly shouldn't. The fact that people are boiling over to the point of threatening members of Congress, threatening witnesses, making death threats is just so deeply disturbing to me, no matter what you think on the merits.
Well, can we have some of our listeners? We've got full lines already, because there are really high emotions on both sides of this. And I want people to be able to talk about it, but I want to try to, understand as much as we can here. So let's go to Patricia, who's calling from Dorchester. Patricia, you're on the air.
Hi. This is actually my first time calling in, but I do listen often. At first, when I heard about everything, I wasn't sure that, the whole thing was true about Dr. Ford, and I'm very sorry that I ever doubted it once I listened to her testimony and just how genuine she was and how relatable it all was. I knew right away that she had to be telling the truth.
So Patricia, do you think that means that Brett Kavanaugh should not be on the Supreme Court?
Yes, that's exactly what I think, and I don't know what your guest is talking about the Supreme Court not affecting people, impacting people's lives much. Maybe if you're, a white male, straight white male, maybe that's true. But,
well, let me elaborate on that a little bit.
A big impact.
Elaborate on that a little bit. I mean, the Supreme Court decides only cases that are before it. The Supreme Court has no army. So the Supreme Court issues a decision, and at most it throws the argument on the issue back to the political branches of government, right? So if it decides that Congress enacted a law unconstitutionally, that doesn't mean the states can't pass that same law, or that Congress can't go back and tinker with the law to pass it in a constitutional way, right? So there are all sorts of examples, but the Supreme Court is not the last word on any of the issues that people are concerned about.
It was the last word on Gore v. Bush, okay? And it did end up making George W. Bush president over Al Gore. I mean, that clearly has power. And in particular, you can tinker with laws, and you're right. If the Supreme Court is, for example, passing judgment on a law affecting regulation of a business, clearly you can go back and have Congress change. But when you have something that affects the Constitution itself and the court's interpretation of that, very, very hard to get a constitutional amendment through.
And is there a point, though, that this is the Kennedy seat? So it's a little bit different, right? This is a different Supreme Court seat that we're talking about, and
it shouldn't be that way, right? And so what I argue today in my column in The Globe is that For a long time, people have wrongly focused on the fact that this is the Kennedy seat, and people wrongly believe that Anthony Kennedy is the only thing that stands between women and the overturning of Roe v. Wade. First of all, I don't believe that that's true. But second of all, even were Roe v. Wade to be overturned tomorrow, something I think highly unlikely, no matter who is on the Supreme Court, all that means is that you have to take your argument to the states, and almost every state would preserve abortion. It baffles me that people are so insecure in their arguments on this issue that they are afraid to have to convince the people of their states.
So you know, one of the things that became entangled over this last week has been the decision to whether or not Brett Kavanaugh should be a Supreme Court justice in terms of ruling on things such as Roe v. Wade and the charge of sexual harassment, sexual assault when he was in high school. They are obviously two completely distinct issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you can agree or disagree about whether or not you think Kavanaugh has the judicial temperament to be a Supreme Court justice, and at the same time recognize that the assault charge is dramatically different. That if it is true, I would argue, whether he was the most left or the right wing person or right in the center, if that is true, it is absolutely a disqualifying
event. So I think they're absolutely intertwined, and here's why. The Democrats came out even before Brett Kavanaugh was named to the Supreme Court and said that they would fight any nominee with every fiber in their being. They said that they would do whatever it took to stop Brett Kavanaugh once he was named. The main issue for the Democrats is abortion. This is about Roe v. Wade to them. And if Christine Ford did not exist, right, put aside for a moment whether or not you believe her or don't believe her. If she did not exist, we would still be having right now some controversial hearing where Brett Kavanaugh was being accused of something. There is no doubt in my mind
about that. Do you believe her or do you not believe her?
I found her testimony to be highly credible. I found her to be sincere and sympathetic. And I found myself having a great deal of empathy for her. I certainly think that she believes what she says. I don't know, with the passage of time, how accurate her memory is. The science tells us that most people's memories are not that strong after the passage of time. And that combined with the timing of all of it and the holes in her stories, the failure of the people she names to corroborate the story, to me, the weight of the evidence favors Judge Kavanaugh.
But we haven't seen evidence. Is that,
Tom, I mean, we really haven't. I mean, you know, one of the things that if you're a lawyer and watch what goes on in a courtroom versus what goes on in front of the Judiciary Committee, dramatically different. You did not see any real cross-examination going on. You didn't see other witnesses
being
brought up.
Which would favor her, actually. She was never crossed.
You saw very little in terms of real fact-finding going on there, which is, quite frankly, why you actually should have a fact-finding organization like the FBI conducting this investigation. And now it appears that at least we're going to get a week's delay to do that.
So the sex crime prosecutor, Rachel Mitchell, who conducted the questioning on behalf of the Republicans, did say afterwards that were this a case that was brought to her as a prosecutor, that she did not see enough evidence to indict. So her professional opinion was that the weight of the evidence did not favor Christine Ford. Mm.
But at this point, you know, it's not an indictment necessarily.
No, of
right?
course not.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break, and we will come back to continue talking about this and taking your calls. We're talking with Jennifer Braceras, political columnist and senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. Also, Tom Keene, former Boston City Councilor and regular contributor to WBUR's Cognoscenti. We're taking your calls as well. We're talking about the extraordinary week that we have been witnessing here regarding the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We're talking about the battle over Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The Senate Judiciary Committee today voted to advance Kavanaugh's nomination to the full Senate, and that was after some last-minute negotiating with Republican Senator Jeff Flake. He went on record to say that he wants the Senate floor vote delayed 1 week to allow for an FBI investigation.
And I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to, but not more than 1 week, in order to let the FBI continue to do an investigation limited in time and scope to the current allegations that are there.
And with me in studio to talk about this, Jennifer Braceras, political columnist and senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. Hello again.
Hi.
And also, former Boston City Councilor and regular contributor to WBUR's Cognoscenti, Tom Keene. Hi,
good
Tom.
To be on.
Listeners, I want to hear from you as well. Did you watch some of this testimony? Do you think there should be an FBI investigation? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston and talk about these incredible hearings this week. So let's just talk a little bit about what we were discussing before the break. And this came up yesterday and today before the committee vote. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham talked about this further investigating of the sexual assault allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. And Lindsey Graham said that this really is all just a political effort to destroy a Supreme Court nominee. Let's listen.
You've got nothing to apologize for. When you see Sotomayor and Kagan, tell them that Lindsey said hello, because I voted for them. I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics.
So that was Senator Lindsey Graham. I'm wondering, Tom Keene, does he have a point here? Democrats said that they, and Jennifer, you brought this up before the break, you said Democrats said that they were not going to let the White House Supreme Court nominee go forward, and now you have Lindsey Graham saying that's all that's happening here. Tom,
so,
your response.
He absolutely has a point. This has been a vicious political battle. Mm. But as I said before the break, notwithstanding the fact that it's been all political and it's a vicious battle here being waged on partisan sides, there is a second issue. And it is, no matter how it got to the floor, it is still a very distinct issue. And that is, did Brett Kavanaugh sexually assault a 15-year-old girl back in the early 1980s? And if he did, however that came to us, if that in fact occurred, it is a disqualifying event.
But here's the context that we can't overlook, and that is that Dianne Feinstein knew about this in July. And the reality is, if she had genuine concerns that somebody who had been accused of sexual assault was about to be put on the United States Supreme Court, the appropriate thing for her to have done would have been to go to her colleagues, get a bipartisan group of her colleagues to go to the president and say, Mr. President, you have a long list. You have a deep bench. Withdraw the nomination. Give us someone else, and we will not give you a problem.
And she has addressed that question.
She did not do that because she claimed that Dr. Ford wanted confidentiality.
That's right.
Well, it was incumbent upon Dianne Feinstein to explain to Dr. Ford that that's what they needed to do. Instead, she sat on the allegation and held it for maximum political impact, which tells me that Dianne Feinstein's concern is not really with whether or not this happened. Her concern is political theater and delaying until after the midterms.
So, Jennifer, do you think that Tom has a point here in saying that sexual assault should be a disqualifier for someone on the U.S. Supreme Court?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, okay. Absolutely. If we are certain, or even think more likely than not, that this occurred, that Brett Kavanaugh is guilty of these charges? Absolutely.
Okay. I want to take some calls. Morris is calling from Somerville. Morris, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
First, kudos to you for bringing Jennifer on. I listen to you guys every day, and kudos to you and Jennifer. You're right on. I hope you don't mind me calling you, Jennifer.
No problem.
The testimony from Ms. Ford was very compelling, but I also want to bring you guys back to a segment that you just did not too long ago on NPR about memories and how memories are changed with the recollection of those memories because they're rewritten every time. you guys should go back and revisit that. With that said, I think 35 years is a long time, and to miss some of the very important points, how did she get there, how did she get away, et cetera, et cetera. So those are definitely my concerns.
So you think that you think that she was fuzzy on some of the details, so therefore her memory might be an issue here, and therefore this should not be a disqualifier for a gentleman.
No. If he's guilty, absolutely, I agree. He's 100% doesn't belong. Not even a question. I agree with Mr. Flake. I think a delay of 1 week is absolutely appropriate. It doesn't quite give the Dems what they were looking for because, again, back to Jennifer, your point is right on. She should have done something 6 weeks ago instead of waiting till the last minute, leak it out, make it all happen to try to create a delay because we all know they're just trying to get past midterms praying that they get back the seats. It's so obvious. They stated it.
The caller really makes a very strong point and an important point, which is that if you have followed, say, Project Innocence, which has gone after and looked at situations where people have been convicted, even put on death row, mm-hmm. most of the times that they've been able to get reversals has been because the witnesses, the eyewitnesses who identified someone in the lineup were, in fact, incorrect on that. And yes, there are problems in terms of memory, in terms of how people identify someone. That doesn't necessarily mean that Christine Ford is wrong here at all. It simply means that you should have a further investigation. And yesterday, up in front of the American public, you know, testifying before the Judiciary Committee is not the way to do that investigation. My hope is that we do what should have been done in the first place, and that is get the FBI relatively neutral and impartial in there to actually try to find out what it can.
So I agree with Tom about the importance of a thorough investigation, which is exactly why Senator Feinstein should have acted in July, because then there would have been plenty of time for a lengthy FBI review of the charges. She knew that. She made sure there was no FBI investigation, and now she's asking for one.
Well, let's take some more calls. Dave is calling from Dedham. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. You know, after all this uproar yesterday and emotions, no one changed their mind. Nobody's changed their mind. Flake may be wavering a little bit, but he's just covering his rear end. But, Tom, let me ask you a question. Let's say we have this investigation and they find nothing. It's a long time ago. People don't remember. I don't even think the two people involved remember. Is that going to change your mind? Are you still going to be vote? Are you going to support him then? Or are you still going to be against him? Because ultimately, that's all that matters.
So unfortunately, I'm not a senator right now. But but if I were in that position where I would all of the other factors in terms of how people assess this nominee obviously would affect me on that. But if, in fact, he has found out that there's no substantial proof out there that we really can't show that he did this, then, yes, that would not count in terms of my thinking.
There's never going to be proof that he didn't do it because you can't prove a negative.
Right.
Right? So there's always going to be some question in the minds of the senators who are ultimately the ones who have to determine the credibility, whether after an FBI investigation or not. And all they can do is assign the burden of proof where they think it should fall. And what Judge Kavanaugh said yesterday, and I support this very strongly, is that you should apply the burden of proof that you would want applied to your son, your husband, your father, your friend, your brother, if they were accused, mm-hmm. and apply it fairly.
You know, I want to. You brought up something, Jennifer, regarding the claim that Ms. Ford and others may be being used as political pawns here by the Democrats. And Senator Blumenthal, Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, talked about that today. And I'd like to play a little clip of him speaking about that.
He would have us believe that these brave, courageous sexual assault survivors have come forward as part of a vast right-wing conspiracy. How insulting to them to say that they are pawns or puppets of us or anyone else. In fact, they are brave, courageous, independent women who have stepped forward.
So Senator Blumenthal and others, Jennifer, they say, you know, that these are women who really want their stories told. It didn't, and you know, Dr. Yeah. Ford did not want to come forward. She was afraid to come forward. So
the things he said are not mutually exclusive, right? She's both brave and courageous, and I think a political pawn in this process. And in fact, Brett Kavanaugh is a political pawn in this process. That's the tragic thing here, is that two lives have been appended. Two families have received death threats. Two people emotionally wrecked and humiliated before the nation, really. It didn't have to be that way. I mean, this charge could have been investigated in July, and the privacy of Dr. Ford and the reputation of Judge Kavanaugh could have been protected if the FBI had looked into it then. The reason they didn't was because of Dianne Feinstein.
Tom, we've heard a lot about this.
And to be frank, however, even as late as the Feinstein accusations came out, the Republicans quite clearly could have simply delayed for a week or two instead of staging a national hearing on this. So I agree with you. It would have been great if it came out several months ago. But even at the point that it came out, it could have still been handled by the FBI. And there was complete resistance on the Republican side to doing that.
So it was deliberately held, you're saying?
It very well may have been deliberately. Feinstein denies it. Assume for the moment that politics was at play. I mean, it's hard to believe politics is at play in a political situation. But yes, politics was probably at play. But even at the point that this information started to come out, the way to handle that should have been to call for an FBI investigation, delay by a couple of weeks to allow the FBI to investigate at that point. Nothing is so pressing for the Republicans. They have, even if they lose the Senate, they still have till December 31.
I want to take another call. Ryan is calling from Cambridge. Ryan, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have to say, I take great exception to your guest's assertion that the Supreme Court has little impact on the everyday lives of people. We live in a world where within literally days of the Supreme Court's decision on the Voter Rights Act, we've seen southern states move to disenfranchise the rights of voters. We've seen southern states like Texas and Mississippi continually chip away at a woman's right to choose. So that statement is as divorced from reality as it is from any sense of history. And I'll take any responses.
Well, the flip is
Brown v. Board of Education.
Look,
clearly that had a dramatic impact.
Obviously, there are times where the Supreme Court has a dramatic impact. My point is not that it doesn't affect the lives of people. My point is that it's not the last word on many of these hot-button issues that people are today concerned about, such as abortion or gay marriage or what have you. These are issues where the country's moving in a certain direction anyway, and the three branches of government are co-equal, and the Supreme Court is never the last word. If you lose there, take your case to the people.
Okay. You can answer yes or no. Is he going to make it out of the full Senate? Jennifer Kavanaugh, is he going to make it out of the full Senate?
I honestly don't know.
I think not.
You say no.
I think not. I think that the FBI investigation is going to muddy things up enough that you see some sort of withdrawal on his part.
All right. Tom Keene, former Boston City
Councilor. He'll never withdraw.
Okay. Tom Keene, former Boston City Councilor and regular contributor to WBUR's Cognoscenti. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Also, Jennifer Braceras, political columnist and senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. Thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.